everybody. Welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is Chris Broussard filling in for Chris Carter.
What up, man?
It's
this
great
right
to be
here.
Here
is Nick Wright. Fun to have you. Thanks for joining us on a Friday.
I missed you guys last week. I was with Chris and Sarah Kustak and Chris Candy. Now it's good to be with you guys, the A-team. Now
Absolutely.
And it is so great to have you and excited for these next 3 hours.
Absolutely. All right, we got a lot to pack into those 3 hours. We'll get to Drew Brees and the Saints in just a second, but first, Packers and Chiefs in Green Bay. Quarterback Manny Wilkins hurdling over the defender for the first down.
Oh, that's a nice little piece of athleticism right there.
Real nice. That's trying to impress somebody.
Yeah, trying to make
Green
a
Bay or somewhere else.
That's good. Not the once again, not the greatest Chiefs tackling.
College football, FIU versus Tulane. Shamar Thornton pulling down the one-handed grab while diving backwards.
That's a great catch.
That is a great catch.
Wow.
That was FIU against who, Jenna?
That was...
Against Tulane?
Against Tulane.
That's a spectacular play.
All right, Minnesota, South Dakota State, Gopher wide receiver. This is Rashad Bateman. This is a nice one-handed grab. That's good for a touchdown.
Oh, Rashad, that's better than the other one, man, because he doesn't break stride. Get it? Let's just keep
running. He bobbled it a little bit. That's a great catch, though.
CeCe would have an issue with the bobble.
I still might go with the first one. That's nice, though. You're right, because he didn't break stride. That's tougher.
He just keeps going, and that's a great throw.
That's tougher.
Well, now watch this.
Here we go. Gail Monfils.
Watch him. Match point 360 spike. Eat it.
Now, does the tennis world like that? I like it. What about the tennis world?
Man, it's the U.S. Open. You got to put a little flavor
that
on it. You out
nice.
There in Flushing. Evidently, the guy he was playing was a buddy of his, so they have a good relationship. That was dope.
That's like the first guy to do a 360 dunk in a game or something.
Exactly right.
What are they doing? Can you do that?
Moving on to the Saints now. So last we Googled, Drew Brees is 40 years old, most likely nearing the end of his career. There'd be no better swan song than winning his second Lombardi Trophy. And according to our friends at Fox Bet, he's got a shot, with New Orleans currently listed as the favorite to win the NFC ahead of the Rams and the Eagles. Nick, you're one of those gambling type of guys. Who wins the NFC?
I'm going with a team that is not even top four odds, according to our friends at Fox Bet, and that is the Green Bay Packers. They got the best quarterback in the conference. They have a new head coach. The quarterback-coach relationship, while we discuss it all the time, I am certain, I would wager any amount of money that Aaron Rodgers' relationship with Matt LaFleur this year will be far superior to his relationship with Mike McCarthy the last couple of years. They finally, over the last couple of years, particularly this offseason, they being the Packers, spent money on defense. They went out and got Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith, no relation, but similar position. Both either outside linebacker, defensive end, pass rushing types, guys that can get after the quarterback. Last year, they had a chance to draft Derwin James. I thought it was unfortunate they didn't, but they traded out of that spot, got an extra first-round pick, and with their first-round pick took Jaire Alexander, who was excellent as a rookie corner, and that is a hard position to play well as a rookie. You expect him to be even better. And with Matt LaFleur, they're not going to be one of the least run-heavy teams in football. Aaron Jones last year gave you 5.5 yards per carry, and only got 11 carries per game. Now, I get it. You have Aaron Rodgers. You want him to drop back as often as possible. But one of the reasons he's been injured each of the last 2 years, because maybe he is dropping back a little too often, because you don't have the threat of the run, or even the play action's not going to be as effective when they know you are one of the least likely teams to run the football. So, I believe Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback in the history of pro football, at least until Patrick Mahomes takes that title from him. And so that he's not, to me, going to go through this latter half of the prime of his career without another singularly great season, without another Super Bowl run. So that's where I like the Green Bay Packers this season in that very tough NFC North.
I'm not mad at you for the Packers pick. I do think people are underrating them. Their defense, we've always talked about, Rodgers does great, but the defense can't stop anybody. I think, like you said, the additions they've made, the defense is going to be much better. I am not as certain as you about the run game. I know Aaron Rodgers likes Jones, you know, so we'll see if he can, you know, really be a great running back for them, because last year, 8 of the 11 teams that won double-digit games were in the top 10 in rushing.
Yep.
So the Packers obviously were way out of that. If there's a team built to do it without the run, it would be the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. And I think Rodgers is motivated in that, look, even though he hasn't won a Super Bowl in a while, he's been viewed as the best quarterback. All right, now people are looking at Tom Brady. He's the GOAT. Mm-hmm. He wins. But Rodgers at least had, but he's still the best thrower to football. Mm-hmm. He's the most talented. Now, I'm not sure he even has that, at least based on last year, because as you said, people are looking at Patrick Mahomes. Yep. So Aaron Rodgers received more criticism this year than he ever has in the offseason in recent years. People blamed him for McCarthy's firing, and they say he's ad-libbing too much, tries to make the difficult pass. So I think he's going to come back with a vengeance and have a great year. But still, I like New Orleans better. I like New Orleans to win the NFC. I think the Packers are right there with them, and I think Philadelphia is too. I think the Rams will fall off a little bit. My one concern about New Orleans, obviously they're motivated after what happened last year, but my one concern is Drew Brees at 40. He'll be 41 in January. We saw him drop off in the second half of last season. Will we see that again? If we do, I don't think they get to the Super Bowl, but right now I'm picking New Orleans to come out of the NFC.
You're not worried about the help that Kamara got from Ingram?
Well, Ingram's a big loss, but I think they'll be able to make up for that. I think they will.
And I think the Saints offense, Kamara's great. Michael Thomas obviously is one of the most productive receivers in football. But the thing you mentioned, that is the reason why I'm not picking them. The thing you mentioned Brees. Being, I mean, Brees at the end of the year was a different player. And there is, to me, a very recent, very real close facsimile to this, which is Peyton Manning's not as last year. His last year, they won the Super Bowl, but he was bad. His second to last year, he looked like he was going to be league MVP through 12 weeks. Very similar to Drew Brees. Peyton Manning, second to last year in the NFL, he had a 108 rating with 36-9 touchdown interception ratio through 12 weeks. The final five games of the season, so last quarter plus the playoffs, 4 touchdowns, 6 picks, and the quarterback rating dropped 30 points. Drew Brees last year through 12 weeks, 29 touchdowns, 2 picks, a 127 rating, which is bananas. The last 6 weeks of the year, so the final 4 plus the playoffs, 7 touchdowns, 5 picks, and the quarterback rating dropped 30 points. So to me, in fact, a little more than 30 points, there is, at his age, there is real concern about what happened last year. Was it just you played tougher opponents? Was it a little bad luck where good luck had gone your way? Or was it that age was and the wear and tear was finally catching up to Brees? Because while the defense has been better in recent years, that's been a big part of the reason they stopped going 7-9, started making the playoffs again, they don't have a top 5 defense. They might not have a top 10 defense unless Marcus Davenport really flashes this year, second year player they traded up to go get. If Drew Brees is not near MVP level, to me, with the depth in that conference and the depth in that division, that's the other thing for the Packers and the Saints. They have two, each of them have two really good teams in their own division they got to go through. That concerns me for New Orleans, because that's a team that, if they're going to make the playoffs, has to have the one seed in my mind. Well, Brees, they have to have it go through New Orleans.
Yeah, he clearly has to play at an MVP level, but they've got a great offensive line, one of the best in football, and their tight end, I think, is the best they've had since Jimmy Graham left. So I think they'll be able to do it. But look, last week I liked Carolina in that division until Cam, and I know it's not a serious foot injury, but I'm questionable now about that offensive line. I thought they were going to have improved the offensive line a lot. I'm not so sure now. So you're right. The division's tough, but I think New Orleans.
NFC North and NFC South might be the two toughest divisions in all of football.
Tough
NFC
conference. Period. The NFC period is going to be tough this year. Take a break coming up. Will Patrick Mahomes cruise to an MVP repeat this season? You'll be surprised what Nick has to say about that next on First Things First.
Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at $1 million payday. Draft your single game showdown lineup and feel the sweat like never before. It's simple. Just draft 6 players from the season opener. Stay under the salary cap. See how your team stacks up against the competition. But you don't have to wait till week 1 to get in on the action. Right now, all users can get a deposit bonus of up to $500. Download the DraftKings app now. Get in on the action. For a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus of up to $500. And as an extra special week 1 bonus, new users can put in my code FTF to receive a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. Don't forget, that's code FTF for your free shot at $1 $1 million only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Time for us to go viral. So Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are looking for their first NFC North division title since 2016. Check out how the Green Bay quarterback showed up to their annual welcome back luncheon this week, dressed up as members of the Happy Gilmore cast, if you didn't know. Aaron Rodgers as that nice orderly fellow, played by Ben Stiller.
So here's the thing. So Rodgers has an odd Twitter back and forth with a Twitter account that pretends to be the villain from Happy Gilmore. Shooter McGavin. This does kind of date Aaron Rodgers a bit. Happy Gilmore came out.
No, Christ. If it doesn't,
first of all. Now it dates you.
That's actually really well done, America. That's a good job by our production staff. That is actually a real photo of me with the mustache. The rest is Photoshop, Jenna.
No, I get that.
That's actually well done.
That's before you had the great hair.
It's before I had the hair, when I just had the mustache.
When he needed more hair on his head and less on his upper lip.
I think that mustache is great. What is it? No Shave November?
No Shave November.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go just to the stash in November.
As long as you just keep the hair on the head. So the bottom line is hair has to stay on your head.
No problem. I'll keep the hair and I'll go mustache.
Both of you.
I can't pull off the smooth goatee of Chris Broussard.
You never know till you try, Nick.
Broussard's been rocking that since he was busting jumpers like Carmelo back in college. Go ahead.
Stories to start your morning. Speaking of which, Brooklyn Nets superstars Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are reportedly pushing for the team to sign free agent Carmelo Anthony. Nick, this a good fit for Melo or a good friendship fit for Melo?
I got to see where Melo's head's at. Melo, if he will accept a role, obviously should be in the league. Right. And by the way, the Nets need themselves some forwards. Wilson Chandler just got suspended. Right. But even before that, they needed forwards because their best forward, Kevin Durant, is not going to be playing this year, it would appear. So I think Melo deserves another run around the league, but he's not in the league right now because when he was in Houston, he would not accept that role, and he didn't really accept in Oklahoma City either. So, yes, he could, in theory, be a good fit, but we got to see what he's willing to do.
I agree with you. Melo's better than 70% of the league, 60 to 70% of the league. There's no question about that, but where does he fit? And here's the thing. I as much as I like Melo, I don't know that it's a great fit in Brooklyn. If Kevin Durant were there, I think Melo would more readily accept a role player.
That's interesting.
Without Durant, Melo looks at that roster.
Says I'm the second best guy.
I mean, really, he is. I mean, he's not as far as what they need done. Right. Caris LeVert fits him better. Spencer Dinwiddie.
Of course.
Maybe Joe Harris.
Yep.
But you think Melo's looking at Joe Harris and going to willingly sit on the bench behind Joe Harris when Harris is out there playing? So, and Brooklyn, fifth in the league in three-point attempts last year. I'm not sure Melo fits their style.
All right, let's move on to some college football. Number one Clemson mollywhopped Georgia Tech last night, 52-14. Heisman hopeful Trevor Lawrence finished 13 of 23, just 168 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. That ain't great, says Nick Wright. Running back Travis Etienne finished with 205 yards, three touchdowns on 12 carries. That is great. Nick, what'd you take away from this game?
All right, just real quick. I'm going to start making really out of nowhere Seinfeld references and talking about my workout routine. If you try to steal from me, mollywopped and that ain't great.
I would love you to make Seinfeld references.
Those are my two proprietary comments and you use them both in this script. What I made of this is, listen, you can't win the Heisman Trophy in week one, but you can put yourself in a hole for it in week one. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are looking for a reason to vote for Tua because Tua looked like had it wrapped up last year and then didn't get it. Trevor Lawrence was going to be his stiffest competition, maybe still will be, but this is a bad stat line against a Power 5 team for Trevor Lawrence. Maybe the biggest one, though, is Clemson is monstrous when Lawrence can play that game and they crush, or dare I say, mollywop Georgia Tech the way they did.
Hey, I'm with you. I was stunned by Lawrence. I mean, he wasn't horrible, but he was pedestrian, you know? And look, as much as they want to devalue the running back today, there is nothing better. The most exciting play in the game is a long touchdown run by a running back. Yep. And Etienne was fantastic. He's number one right now. He has put himself at the top of the Heisman
list. Oh, I like it. We're doing a Heisman list
right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
I like it.
So far,
been 7 games played.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no problem.
But
eat
so far, is he not number one?
Well, yeah, but 80%
hasn't played.
Tua's
number two now. He's number one.
I love it.
He won't do that.
I love it so much.
Hey, man. Let's talk about Daniel Jones.
This is
I say that to say this. He was a perfect 4-for-4, period, point blank last night. The Giants' surprising first round pick this year surprised most with a solid preseason, 29-34, 416 yards, 2 touchdowns in his 4 preseason games. Not bad for a rookie. Mm-hmm. Nick, how long till Jones takes over for Eli? Here we go.
I'm really mad right now. Listen, Daniel Jones very good in the preseason. I wasn't here last week when it seemed like the entire sports talk nation decided they had to go on some Daniel Jones apology tour. Folks, have some take integrity. Wait until he plays 6 regular season games instead of 6 preseason drives. My stance on this has been the same. I think the Giants play New England week 6 on a Thursday night. They then have 10 days before they play Arizona. I think that's when Daniel Jones takes over. Eli can hold him off, though, a little bit longer if the Giants open the season with an upset win over the Ezekiel Elliott-less Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, look, I'm with you on Jones. He was fantastic, but right now they're handling it correctly. I don't like the declarations that we don't want to see him this season, but he should be coming off the bench. You don't need to start him now, because if he struggles as a rookie, we'll have those moments. Mm-hmm. Then you're not going back to Eli.
Right.
So if
they make the change, they have to stick.
Right. And after the Cowboys, they got Buffalo, Tampa Bay, and Washington. 3 bad teams that the Giants should be able to play with. If they get beaten by most of those teams and Eli looks bad,
then
the fan base will be clamoring for Daniel Jones to start, and that's what you want for your next era.
Permission for one more, Nick?
Whatever you want, Chad.
Hold on. We're going to end with the Patriots. A strong showing from their wideouts last night with Demaryius Thomas reeling in 7 catches for 87 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Josh Gordon returning to the field for the first time since December of last year. So, Nick, is this Patriots wide receiving core actually underrated?
It's not yet underrated nor overrated. At the moment, it's properly rated, which is, we'll see. What is true is this. If all the ifs hit in a positive way, this can be an enormous strength for them. If Demaryius Thomas looks like he did last night, like a guy who didn't tear his Achilles last season. Now, I know he's up against second and third stringers and practice squad guys, but that has nothing to do with how he looks dealing with coming off a torn Achilles, and he looked like a viable NFL wide receiver. They don't have N'Keal Harry, their first round pick. They haven't had him since early in the preseason, so they're not even we saw what we saw last night without any contribution from him. We did see Josh Gordon. And Josh Gordon, I will remind the audience, last year was 2nd in the NFL in yards per catch. And the guys who had as many receiving yards as Josh and even close to him in yards per catch, he was at 18. Guys that were 16 or more yards per catch with as many receiving yards as him were Tyler Lockett, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, T.Y. Hilton. It's a select few. Yeah. For all those reasons, plus Edelman, and we know what Edelman is. We know what his upper bound is, but we also know what his lower bound is. He's a low-ceiling, very high-floor player. Yeah, the receiving core for the Pats, pardon me, and Jakobi Meyers, the undrafted kid, has been good throughout this preseason. You have a reason to believe it could be a strength. But Demaryius Thomas also could look like he looked pre-Achilles and how most guys look post-Achilles, which is not very good. Josh could do what he's done each of the last 5 years, which is not be available. And N'Keal Harry, as a first-round pick, Belichick hadn't taken one wide receiver for a quarter century almost. He didn't play much in the preseason. Could be hard for him to even crack the depth, the rotation, if you will. So, yeah, I think it could turn into an asset for them if everything hits. But if it doesn't, then it'll be Tom Brady trying to make magic with limited talent out there.
You're right on the money. Look, there are big ifs for this team. No question about it, from Josh Gordon to Demaryius Thomas. And you're right, N'Keal Henry, his body, he's just banged up for some reason. And so if they can get him on the field, that's an if. But if all those things work in their favor, we've seen Brady work magic with mediocre receiving cores for most of his career. This is beyond mediocre. This is, I mean, if all those ifs come into play, Gordon could be great with Tom Brady. Edelman is a great slot receiver. Thomas, because you've got those other two guys, not to mention Harry, there won't be that much attention. He's fourth, right? So he could be good as the fourth best receiver. And I do think Harry, when he gets healthy, is going to be very good. So, yeah, I think they are a bit underrated if all those things work in their
favor. But even if all those things work out, you still have questions on that offensive line, and that's going to pose problems for Tom Brady and thus the receivers.
But just real quick on that, Jenna, because of the problems on the offensive line, I think the receiving core could be more important than we first thought. Because the problems on the offensive line, to me, could show up more in the running game than in the passing game. I expect Brady to be able to get the ball out of his hands quickly no matter what. We had said a few weeks ago, it's going to be a power running team. Well, now they don't have their center. We know they've got two tight ends suspended, plus the loss of Gronk. Isaiah Wynn was a first-round pick, but we've never seen him play in the NFL. So I think you can, if you have a kind of put-together offensive line, you can make it work easier if with talented receivers than necessarily asking Sony Michel to carry the ball 25 times.
Sure. All right, let's move on to the reigning MVP and Patty Mahomes, coming off a 5,000-yard, 50-touchdown season. Rumblings of regression have started to creep into headlines. But our friends over at Fox Bet have Mahomes currently listed as the favorite to win MVP again this season, ahead of a couple guys named Breeze, Brady, and Rodgers. So, Broussard, who do you think wins MVP?
I know it's rare to repeat his MVP. When Manny did it, what, twice? Mm-hmm. Brett Favre did it. But I'm going with Patty Mahomes. I mean, I'm predicting over 5,000 yards again. And I want to say 50 touchdowns again, but I'll be conservative and go 45-ish. I think he's going to have a tremendous year. I mean, we know how fast they were last year with Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watkins, remember, only played 10 games. He at least right now is healthy. You got Mecole Hardman, who's also a burner. I mean, this team has speed to burn.
Just real quick on the Mecole Hardman thing, keep in mind, they drafted him because they thought they weren't going to have Tyreek Hill.
Right.
He was supposed to essentially be a poor man's replacement for Tyreek Hill. They obviously do have Tyreek Hill, but they still have Mecole Hardman. Maybe they would have rather spent that pick on a defensive player, but to your point on the speed, it's just an absolute, I mean, just an embarrassment of riches as far as how much speed they can put
you
on the
could
field.
Take the top off the defense in every play.
Yep.
And Travis Kelce will be there underneath for receptions. Their running backs, you know, are fine, you know, catching the ball, and I think they'll be able to run it well. Yeah, Mahomes, this offense is going to be high octane once again. I think Mahomes wins it.
So I agree with nearly everything you're saying about how good this offense can be. And you mentioned he could throw 45. Here's a way to put into context how brilliant Mahomes was last year. 50 touchdowns, right? If that takes a 20% haircut, you're at 40. 40 would have led the NFL each of the last five seasons, dating back to 2013, Patrick Mahomes' year notwithstanding. So he could regress and still have the best statistical profile. I don't like him for MVP, though, for one of the reasons you mentioned in the beginning. The NFL MVP is not the NBA MVP, where guys repeat all the time. Usually in the NBA, once you win one, you're going to win a couple. Right. Duncan won back-to-back. Nash then won back-to-back. LeBron won back-to-back twice. Giannis going to be the favorite to go back-to-back himself. Like, in the NBA, once you win one, you win a bunch. The NFL, it's 50 guys, or 50 men and women, I should say, who all submit one name. There's no first, second, third place votes. It's not 100 like it is for you guys that have the honor of having an NBA MVP vote and where you put together a whole ballot. So sometimes storylines and narratives matter. And I believe the Green Bay Packers are going to have the best record in the NFC. I believe Aaron Rodgers is going to, assuming health, which I know can be a tough assumption, but for this discussion, we'll assume it for everyone. Aaron Rodgers is going to be spectacular. And I believe Aaron Rodgers, there's going to be this narrative around midway point of the season. Did we anoint Patrick Mahomes too early when the most talented quarterback we've ever seen has actually still been playing since Mahomes came in the league, and he's over in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers? And I will, because of it's so hard to repeat, I'd even say this. If Rodgers doesn't win it, I like Baker Mayfield. I think Baker's going to have bananas numbers. I think that offense is going to be outstanding, and we have seen Carson Wentz almost won an MVP in year two. Mahomes did win an MVP in year two. Derek Carr, and I think it was year three, was en route to at least a top five MVP finish before he broke his leg. The young special quarterbacks in year two, Jared Goff last year in year three and the year before, which was year two, finished or played well enough to be in the MVP conversation. So I think Baker, my projection would go Rodgers, Baker, and then I'd have Patrick Mahomes.
But for Mahomes, the bar was so high last year that even a little, as you'd call it, a haircut off of that is going to make it look like he's not having the same season as last year, and that could also work to his detriment as well.
Well, if they're still winning games, even, I mean, most people do expect him to come down because what he did was so spectacular last year. So if he's where I'm saying 5,000 yards, 43, 44 touchdowns, I do think that's still good enough. And, you know, to win games. And they may, at the end of games, you know, if they're ahead big time, they may run the ball so people could look at that. I'm with you, though, on Rodgers. He is second for me.
Okay.
I think he is going to have a great year. Baker, so you must have them winning the division.
I do have them winning the division. I think
12 wins.
100%. I think Baker and the Browns are going to be outstanding. Real quick, one thing that could work in Mahomes' advantage, but not to the advantage of the Chiefs, is I think they're going to have to score a whole bunch of points again because I don't know how good that defense is going to be. I don't think there's going to be a lot of games where
you don't see improvement.
Well, I think they could improve slightly, but I don't think there's going to be a whole bunch of games where they're up three scores and you can just start running the football. Last year, they had to keep compiling points, and so even if the defense improves, will it improve enough? That could work in Mahomes' advantage, but it's so hard to repeat as MVP in this league, and Rodgers hadn't won one in a while, and I think the Packers are going to be just an outstanding team on both sides of the ball.
All right, let's take a break. Talk some Cowboys. Is the Dallas season already a lost cause?
Already. Over.
That's
finished.
That's ahead on First Thing
Pack Chris. It in, America's team. You're cooked.
Here, September is National Life Insurance Awareness Month. Most people aren't aware of that. In fact, most people aren't aware they need life insurance at all. That's why 40% of Americans don't have it. But getting life insurance doesn't need to be difficult or expensive. Right now, prices are the lowest they've been in 20 years. And Policy Genius has made it easier than ever to get covered. Policy Genius is the easy way to shop for life insurance online. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find your best price. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. If you need life insurance, but you just haven't gotten around to it, National Life Insurance Awareness Month is as good a time as any to get started. Go to policygenius.com to get quotes and apply in minutes. You can do the whole thing on your phone right now. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. Back here, First Things First, joined by former All-Pro running back Brian Westbrook.
What's up, man?
Good morning, Brian.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Talking some Steelers this morning. The start of a new era in Pittsburgh without Antonio Brown, without Le'Veon Bell. Ben Roethlisberger ready to lead this team back to the postseason after missing the playoffs last year. He will have Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner as his main weapons now. Add to that the fact that Roethlisberger is no longer doing his weekly radio show. Brian, you think we see a new Big Ben this year?
Yeah, I think we do. I think that one of the things the Steelers wanted to do this offseason, including Big Ben, is quiet all the noise. You get rid of Antonio Brown. You get rid of Le'Veon Bell in the offseason last year and things like that. They just want to calm things down. You don't make the playoffs. Are these Steelers good enough to win without A.B. and Le'Veon Bell? Those are all the answers that you want to try to figure out. And I think Big Ben is trying to be the orchestrator of that. He wants to take control of that. But I also think he saw how the locker room responded to some of his comments last year. And I remember we played with Andy Reid. One of his claims to fame, and I love this as a player, is that Andy Reid never threw us under the bus as players. Brian, I fumbled in the fourth quarter. He never went out there and said, Brian Westbrook ruined the game. He lost the game for us. He never would do this. He would never throw us underneath the bus. And Big Ben needs to understand that. That radio show, and I had a radio show, and it's easy to critique players and say, hey, he did this and he did that. And as a player, a teammate, you don't want the first time you're hearing from your quarterback or about your play is on the radio or in the media or now social media and things like that. So I think dropping this radio show is huge for this team. I think it's also huge for his development. And I think this team quietly is putting together an offseason that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, look, Ben has gotten a pass over the years. It's all been about A.B.'s to blame, La'el Bell's to blame. And Ben hasn't been blameless. You know, we saw what was it the general manager talked about him as, you know, he's the parent, they're the kids, 52 kids, all that stuff. So he's gotten a pass. But I like what I'm seeing right so far this season from him, because I think when he saw what Antonio Brown did, and maybe he overstated that they were friends and all that, but when he saw AB's reaction to the point where I don't even want to play with you anymore, I think Ben had gotten so used to criticizing guys and getting away with it that he felt like he could say anything. And when AB reacted that way and that strongly, I really think it got to Ben. I think with the apology on the radio, that was unusual for him. And then I think this, because let's face it, having your own radio show, you know, a 20-minute segment, whatever he had, that's an ego thing too. You know, you get to go on there, you're the star of the city, you're the quarterback. And so to push that aside does show that you're trying to make a change. And like you said, they don't want any drama. They want it to be all about football this year. So I do think we'll see a different Ben. And I think the Steelers, I'm going to say this, I don't have them coming out of the AFC, but I do think they're a sleeper Super Bowl contender, and I wouldn't be shocked if they got there.
If they make the playoffs, the quarterback coach combination is trumped only probably by Belichick, Brady, and Carroll and Russell. And so, yeah, I mean, absolutely, they'd be a viable contender if they can get into the tournament. But on Big Ben, I'll believe it when I see it. And stopping the radio show to me is not seeing it. I know some people at that radio station that where Ben did this show, and there is at least a belief there that part of his extension he got with Pittsburgh, one of the things mentioned when they were talking about extending him early, well, I guess extending him before his contract expired, giving him a pay raise, was we would prefer if you did not do this radio show anymore. It wasn't mandated, but it was heavily implied. And I think a lot of people would stop doing a weekly radio hit if it was the last key to unlocking an extra $40 million of guaranteed money, however much that was. But Big Ben is now the longest tenured Steeler ever. The general manager did say he's the one adult with 52 kids. He also won whatever power struggle there was with Antonio Brown. And he has shown throughout his entire career two things specifically. One, he is a spectacular player and an absolute warrior who will fight through injury, even if when he does get dinged, he hams it up a bit in the moment, but he will be out there and be available. The other one is this. He is a me guy. He is a, I don't listen, I want to make sure everyone understands what happened here was not my fault. I don't like running that play. I do like running this play. This guy ran the wrong route. This guy, I wanted to be out there kneeling when other guys, not kneeling, pardon me, out there for the anthem, all that stuff. I don't think people tend to go through massive personality shifts at 37 years old when they're super rich and super successful. Maybe he will, but to me, him changing who he's been the last 15 years would be a surprise. I'm not going to say it can't happen, but I need to see it happen, because when I believe guys are going to change, it's usually because they have hit, not necessarily rock bottom, but they have hit a low point. Something bad has happened. You've been traded, or you had to take a pay cut, or whatever it is. When we talked about Melo earlier, man, if this isn't enough of a realization for Melo to change, then nothing will be. Man, Big Ben won. He got the money. He got the contract. He got the power. He got it's his locker room unquestioned. Why would you change if your actions got you what you wanted?
Well, the reason why he would change is because they didn't make the playoffs last year. Right. The best receiver that he's ever played with is out the door. Best running back he's ever played with is out the door in this team. And really, the other part is that he's at the latter stages of his career, and he has to win at this point. He has to bring this team back. There's no one else to blame. You got rid of Antonio Brown. There's one scapegoat out the door. Same thing with Lev Bell. Another scapegoat out the door. This has been changed team. He has to change things. That's why he has to change, because now it's about winning and his legacy. Of course, you won Super Bowls. You did a lot of different things. You had some great players. Win now. Show us now that you can do it without those stars.
So take all the drama out of it. Is this team good enough? No one here has this team winning the division, do they?
I do.
You have the team winning the division. Are they good enough with James Conner and Juju in there to be replacements?
I think they would have made the playoffs last year if Conner doesn't get injured.
Yeah.
So I think Conner coming back, if he can stay healthy, that's going to be big for them. This replacing receivers, as great as Antonio Brown is, and we haven't seen a guy put up numbers like he has ever, but as good as he is, this is what they do. They replace very good to great wide receivers. That's how Antonio became the man there. Mike Wallace leaves. So I think Juju will become the man. He'll be an all-pro. And then I think James Washington will have a really nice year. So, yeah, I think Pittsburgh will win that division. And as you said, I like Kansas City better. I like New England better. But after that, I think the Steelers have a great shot and get a few breaks here or there. They could get to the Super Bowl.
They got a tough division. I'll tell you this. They have to run the ball a lot more and more consistently. The James Conner did a great job last year. They didn't give him enough carry. Right. They depended on Ben to carry the load their entire season. That's not how you win football.
You know who they need? They need a Brian Westbrook. Stick around. Coming up. Are Drew Brees and the Saints a lock to win the NFC? That's next on First Things First. Back here with Brian Westbrook, we're going viral. Shaq and Kobe have been trading playful barbs this week. It started when Kobe said he'd have 12 rings if Shaq wasn't so lazy. Shaq took to Instagram yesterday, posting this photo, dunking on the entire Nets team, saying, "Damn, I was so lazy." What do you guys think?
You see him grabbing that jersey,
too. He might have 9 rings, not 12.
Come on. I don't even want to talk about Kobe's nonsense for a moment. I just want to remind the young people out there how dominant peak Shaq was.
Yeah.
3 straight years in the finals.
Right.
Put his finals averages together. It's about 36 and 13 a
15,
night.
15, I think.
Okay, 36 and 15 a night with about 3 blocks and 4 assists. He was, nobody would ever call Shaq the greatest player ever. However, if you are asked this question, I'll ask you both this very quickly. You can have one player in all of NBA history for one game at the absolute peak of their powers. Aliens
you know
come
who
down
I'm
Space
saying.
Jam.
You know who I'm saying.
Who are you saying?
Michael Jordan.
I would go Michael Jordan as well, but I can understand where Shaq is coming from, because
Shaq's going to give you
everybody.
40 and 20.
Let me say something on Kobe's behalf, though. The question
Jordan's
Kobe was asked was if Shaq had your work ethic. He wasn't asked if Shaq worked hard. He didn't say Shaq didn't work hard. Uh-huh. He just said he didn't work like Kobe, and he didn't. Kobe and Jordan and LeBron, they're on another level work ethic-wise. So if I agree with Kobe, if Shaq had Kobe's work ethic, he would be the GOAT.
Well, Kobe's also not Shaq. He's not the size of Shaq.
Would he not be the GOAT?
And maybe if Kobe had other guys' egos or disposition or playing styles, maybe they could have played together longer.
Right? I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
It's hard for big guys to work out like that, man. He's a big man. He got that bad toe.
Plus, you're rapping all the time and cutting
moving
albums.
On, moving on to Movies. The Saints. All right, Brian Westbrook, last time we Googled, Drew Brees is 40 years old, most likely nearing the end of his career. There'd be no better swan song than winning a second Lombardi trophy. And according to our friends at Fox Bet, he should have a shot, with New Orleans currently listed as the favorite to win the NFC ahead of the Rams and Eagles. This is a stacked conference, Brian. Who do you think wins the NFC?
You know, I like this Saints pick. And I like it for a couple of different reasons. I love their big three. Obviously, Brees, Hall of Famer, Mike Thomas, and all the money in the world, and Alvin Kamara. I love that big three. They can get it done. I love the acquisition of Jared Cook in the offseason. To me, that offense is unstoppable. Their defense actually faded a little bit towards the end of the season. The problem that I have with the Saints, and this is the one little small caveat that I have, is that they're in a very tough division. That division, they're going to get beat up playing 2 games against the Panthers and the Falcons and the Bucks, who are not very good, but they're going to get beat up just a bit. That's my concern about the Saints. To me, I think they will end up winning, but I have a close second in the Philadelphia Eagles. I think their division actually is probably the easier one in the NFC. You're talking about Dallas without Zeke. You have the Giants. No clue what they're going to end
up doing. Maybe two rookie quarterbacks starting midseason in that division.
That's right. So they had the best road. You talk about what the Patriots were able to do. They were able to do that a lot because of they had an easy road throughout the season, and they're not getting beat up and not having guys injured. So that's important. But I think the Saints have just as good a shot as anybody. I love what they're able to do offensively, score the football. That's going to be huge.
What you said about the division, obviously they're in a tough division. I would say that's the case for every division in the NFC except the one you said, the Philadelphia Eagles. Them and Dallas, that's it. And so they do have an advantage over not just the Saints, but every other division winner, because I think all those divisions are going to be very tough and you're going to get beat up. But that said, I do still like the Saints to win the NFC. I think obviously they got incredible motivation and everybody's motivated. We know that. But they have beat this drum so hard about what happened in the NFC Championship game that they're going to have to come out and back it up. And I think they will. I think they're going to be motivated in that way. I think the loss of Ingram, they're going to be out to prove that they can do it without him. He was great for him, but they let him go for a reason. So I think they're going to be out to prove they can do it without him. My question is, Drew Brees, was what we saw in the second half of last season when he fell off, was that just, you know, some
an aberration?
Right, an aberration, or was that who he is now? Because he will be 41 years old in January.
One of the things, and I'm looking back, I look back at Drew Brees' season. Obviously, last year they started without Mark Ingram. Big-time loss for them because now they're not running the ball as much. The first three games, Drew Brees averaged 42 pass attempts per game. That's way too much for an older quarterback. You have to get a running game established. Let Alvin Kamara run the ball a little bit more. Let the running game dictate how you go offensively. And then allow Drew Brees to be the quarterback that he's always been, consistent. He's going to be a great leader. He's going to be accurate. He's going to get that team up and down the football field. That doesn't change this season.
The Eagles aren't my pick, but I do think the Eagles are going to have the second best record in the conference. And one thing to add to your guys' point about their division, the ease of it, if you will, is also the NFC East had a good draw this year, in that this year their cross-conference matchup is the AFC East, which is almost assuredly the worst division in football. You got the Patriots, and then three teams have been trying to catch the Patriots for 20 years. So you're talking about, if you're the Eagles, you got four games against the Giants and against Washington, and then another three against Jets, Dolphins, Buffalo, and Bills. And so you'd much rather draw this year in the AFC the East than the AFC North, which I think we think is potentially a three playoff team division. So that's just good luck. It's 1 in 4 years. That's what they got. But my pick is not the Saints. And it's mostly because of what you alluded to, which is, who is Drew Brees going to be this year? John Elway and Joe Montana, two of the five greatest quarterbacks ever, retired at age 38. Dan Marino's last good year was age 38. Peyton's last good year was age 39. Brett Favre's that's the year when they hit the wall. Last good year or the year before. Brett Favre hit the wall at 41. Brees, we did see two different seasons for him. The first dozen games and then the end of the year. Even the playoff games. Two short fields against the Rams that resulted in just 3 points. They had the ball in overtime. And that drive ended on a Drew Brees interception. I don't think the Saints have a good enough defense to be a dominant team without a dominant Drew Brees. So I'm going to go with the guy over my left shoulder, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I do believe Rodgers is the most talented quarterback in NFL history. I think Rodgers, to use the Shaq example, who's best at their best is best of everybody. In the whole history of the league, I'd take Rodgers. Man, that can't be true, and him miss the playoffs 3 straight years while he's still, it might be the end of it, but still in the prime of his career. You talked about chip on his shoulder. Roger got chip on his shoulder now. The coach is gone. They spent money in free agency. Those young wide receivers that he was a little annoyed with last year are not quite so young. There's a lot of reasons to believe that Rodgers, if he can be healthy, can be back to league MVP Aaron Rodgers, but it's a similar problem they have that the Saints have, which is two other viable contenders within their own division. In the in the Bears and the Vikings. Like, both those teams have legitimate Super Bowl aspirations. But I think the Packers can pile up enough wins to have home field go through Lambeau for the first time in forever. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have the best year he's had in 5 years.
You're right about that division. The Vikings, Bears, one of the two of the best defenses that we have in the league. The big question, I think, for the Saints is almost the same question for the Packers. Will their defense step up and play? We already know that the quarterbacks will get it done. I think your question about Drew Brees, early on, they put way too much on his plate early on last season, and it affected him towards the latter part of the season.
So you think that's what it was? Because he obviously looked great.
No, he looked totally different, yeah. And I just think that they put way too much on him early on. And I think Sean Payton, who is a very good coach, they'll take some of that off early on and allow the run game to lead this football team early on, which will allow Drew Brees to be healthier and more viable towards the latter part of the season. But listen, the Packers are going to be good. The big question about them is, will Matt LaFleur, will Aaron Rodgers, will they mix? But also, will they get Aaron Jones going? Right. Will they get that running game going? Will they put that team in a position where in November, in December, when it's cold and rainy, they could run the football? That starts in September. That starts in August in the offseason, and that has to get done for that Green Bay
team. Are you really worried about the relationship at this point with Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, or has that been kind of the trendy thing to worry about with that team? Yes, it's a new head coach. It's a new offense. It's a much improved defense, at least for the most part. They actually spent some money in free agency, which they haven't in a while. That relationship is the biggest question for that team?
I don't think it's the biggest question. To me, the biggest question is, how would the run game affect that offense? But I think that it is a question, and everything looks good. Everything looks good in the offseason until it's game five and you guys have lost two games in a row. Now, who you put the blame on, the coach or the quarterback? Those are the two biggest shoulders to put the blame on. Now, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm saying, hey, it's not me, and I'm sure the coach is going to be saying the same thing. That's where you could run into some trouble in Green.
One quick note for the Saints, who 2 years ago started out 0-2, then went on a great run. Last year, lost the first game to Tampa and then needed overtime to beat Cleveland when Cleveland wasn't good yet, and then went on their great run. This year, they are the only team in football to start the season with four consecutive games against playoff teams from last year. Mm-hmm. Houston at the Rams, at Seattle, home for Dallas. Even if you think some of those teams are equipped to take a step backwards, they cannot get off to the slow start that they've gotten off to last couple
that
seasons.
That loss, the opening loss, that was Fitzpatrick's big game, right? Guess who was just named starter coming into this year?
Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic.
He'll be great for about a month.
No doubt.
Sorry, Josh Rosen. Brian, we'll see you later on in the show. Coming up, will the Patriots cruise to their 11th straight AFC East title? Probably. That's next on First Things First.
I think I traded you Ryan Fitzpatrick in fantasy right after you went on that run.
I know. I think I said yes.
I'm Sarah Kustak, and before the show moves along, here's a quick word from our friends over at the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. The NFL season is back, and that means one thing. It's fantasy football time. Dominate your league by subscribing to the number one fantasy football podcast on the planet, the Fantasy Footballers. Fantasy Footballers Podcast is the most downloaded fantasy football podcast for a reason. It has the most accurate rankings, as measured by Fantasy Pros, so you have a leg up on your competition. The Fantasy Footballers was the winner of iHeartRadio's Best Sports Podcast and have over 20 industry awards since 2015. Simply put, these guys can help you win your league and you'll be entertained in the process. Subscribe right now to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever you listen to podcasts. You can also visit them on the web at thefantasyfootballers.com. Subscribe now and dominate your fantasy football league.
We'll get to Tom Brady in just a second, but first, Packers and Chiefs and Green Bay quarterback Manny Wilkins with the big hurdle.
Very impressive.
Got that back leg up, good form, good style, trying to make an NFL roster. Come on, Chiefs. Ooh. I mean, you're just getting clowned.
Here you go, FIU and Tulane. Shamar Thornton pulling down the one-handed grab while diving backwards.
That
you like
is a
this,
fantastic catch. It's OBJ-like. It's is great. It not?
No. It's a great catch. I mean, I'd give it a 6 out of 10 on the OBJ scale. On the OBJ scale. No. On a regular scale.
That was just not quite as good as OBJ.
Very similar.
All right, how about this? Minnesota, South Dakota State, go for a wideout, Rashad Bateman.
That?
Would you like this one better?
On the OBJ scale.
Well, this is nothing like the OBJ
six
catch.
And a half.
But this is a better catch than the last one. Because he doesn't even break stride. It is a perfect
throw. Impressive.
A perfect catch. You don't usually see this out of the Big Ten. You got those schools like Purdue and Wisconsin just trying to run the ball 70 times.
Ohio State.
Yeah, well,
they're going to be throwing the ball this year.
Ohio State's in its own class.
All right, finally.
Other Big Ten schools.
Here we go, U.S. Open. Gael Monfils.
Watch this.
Regarde from the U.S. Open, a little 360.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Beauty.
How could you not,
I like
man?
It. I guarantee you that opponent didn't like
no,
it.
No, they're friends.
They're buddies.
Oh, really?
I think it's okay. Yeah.
He was cool with that?
It seemed like it. They hugged after this match point, too. Go ahead, Ooh. Walk off in some style, man.
I would like to see more of that in tennis.
Of
but,
course.
You know, I don't think course. Tennis wants to see
decorum
more.
Decorum and
right.
all. Time for drawing a blank.
Big upset, too. Halep lost yesterday to the unranked young lady. That was a great match. Watch
the Patriots have won 10 straight AFC East titles, and Fox Bet has taken notice, listing the Pats as heavy favorites ahead of the Jets, Bills, Dolphins, respectively. Not shockingly. So, Chris, the team with the best chance to challenge New England in the division is blank.
Well, no one is going to challenge them. I mean, this division
Confirmed.
Is horrible. All right, Miami, horrible. Buffalo, horrible. The Jets, by default, the Jets win it. I mean, if they win 7 games, I think that's a good season. I do really like Sam Darnold. I think he's going to show much improvement over last year. Obviously played better at the second half of the season. And I think Le'Veon Bell is going to have a great season. I actually think he's going to have the best season of a running back in New York because I think so much attention is going to be on Saquon, 8 in the box for so many of his possessions. So I like the Jets to, best chance to challenge.
I agree with you that no one's going to be within 2 or 3 games of New England. I don't necessarily agree with you that every team in this division is terrible. And I don't agree with you that the Jets are the answer. I say Buffalo. Ooh. I think Buffalo is going to be able to try to concoct an offense through running the football and Josh Allen running the football while taking a few deep shots. I also don't – I'm not as high on Darnold as the general public seems to be. I thought Darnold was fine last year, but I didn't see the elite traits a lot of people seem to see. And, by the way, I'm wrong on quarterbacks a lot, so maybe I'll be wrong on Darnold. But I don't think Darnold's going to take that leap in year 2. We see a lot of the great young quarterbacks take, so I will go with the Buffalo Bills.
All right, on
Poor Miami. They don't even get – they finished second division last year. Nobody cares about them. Nobody cares about them.
On to the AFC North, where the Browns will look to end their 30-year division title drought, but they still have some stiff competition.
How many years?
Against the Steelers, Ravens, and Bengals.
30?
So, Nick, 30-year, Nick. Nick, the winner of the AFC North will be blank.
I didn't mean to throw you off there, Jenna. I apologize. The Browns ending their 30-year drought. Browns are going to win 11 games. Not sneak in. They're going to win 11 games. They're going to have the third best record in the conference. Baker Mayfield's going to be a trendy MVP pick. Odell Beckham Jr. is going to remind everyone how dominant he is. Miles Garrett's going to have 16-plus sacks. I can't say 20. That seems a little touch too high. Denzel Ward's going to be intercepting folks. Brown's going to be a ton of fun. Baker's going to be awesome. Freddie Kitchen's going to be making some terrible jokes. Browns, they're going to win the AFC North, and they are going to be a dangerous playoff team.
The Cleveland native in me, I was actually living in Cleveland the last time they won the division. All right. But I hope you're right. But I've got Pittsburgh winning it. I think Pittsburgh, this is going to be a great year for them. I think now it's all about football, no drama. They got AB out of there. They got L. Bell out of there. They lost some talent. But this is what they do. They replace great talent, particularly at the wide receiver spot. And I think Juju's going to be great. James Washington's going to be great. James Conner, key is stay healthy. And he's not as good as L. Bell, but he can give you that type of production. So, and I think Big Ben has shown a little bit of maturity or at least wisdom in not going public with some things. So I think the Steelers are going to win that.
You've got the Steelers running the division. I've got the Steelers not even making the playoffs. And people say, oh, Big Ben, there'll be no scapegoats left. No, he'll just blame it on Mike Tomlin. Just watch and see.
All right, to the AFC South now, where Fox Bet is possibly the closest divisional race. So the Texans are in the driver's seat with the Jaguars, Titans, and Colts close behind in that order. So, Chris, the winner of the AFC South will be blank.
Look, I love Deshaun. I hope they can protect him this year. But I'm going with Jacksonville. That defense, I still like their defense. I know last year, middle of the season, they really fell off defensively. I think, though, it was because the defense got deflated by Blake Bortles. You had to not only stop the opponent, but you had to score to give your team a chance to win. I think now with Nick Foles in there, and I'm not saying he's some all-pro or anything, but I think Nick Foles is a strong quarterback. Take away the year with Jeff Fisher in St. Louis. And after his rookie season as a starter, Nick Foles is 21-6. With the team, Carson Wentz is not that good as far as winning games with that same roster. So I think Jacksonville is going to bounce back and win that division.
Here's the problem. Even with the upgrade at quarterback with Jacksonville, they might have the worst wide receiver group in the league. And I know Leonard Fournette went to Wyoming and lived by himself for 30 days. And he says he's a new man. I mean, Leonard Fournette has never been a good pro. He was a dominant college player. It has not translated to the pros. I think the offense is going to be stymied once again. I'm sticking with the Colts, man. The Texans are so bad on the offensive line, they reportedly are offering Clowney and a first for Laremy Tunsil, and the Dolphins are still like, no, we're not doing it. So, I mean, the Texans know they're not going to be able to protect Clowney. They don't have a good head coach, no matter what anyone says about Bill O'Brien. They just lost their running back, so I can cross them off. The Titans don't know who their quarterback is. I talked about the Jags. The Colts, meanwhile, I think Jacoby will be like the 19th best quarterback in football this year. Not good, but just slightly below average. I like the rest of their roster. I think you win this division with nine wins this year, so I've got the Colts.
All right, on to the AFC West now. Fox Bet has the Chiefs as heavy favorites, giving the Chargers the best chance to knock them off with the Broncos and Raiders the outside looking in. Nick, the winner of the AFC West will be blank.
Come on. Come on. I mean, it's going to be the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to win three things this year. The AFC West, then the AFC Conference, then the Super Bowl. So the Chiefs, the first step is winning the AFC West again. By the way, even pre-Patrick Mahomes, they have dominated this division. They at one point had won like 20 of 21 divisional games. The Broncos with Joe Flacco do not scare me. And the Chargers, I think the law, we talk all the time about how important defense is. Defense wins championships, all these things. But when a defensive player gets hurt, we treat it so differently than when an offensive player gets hurt. Oh, Zeke might miss two games. Cowboys are screwed. Derwin James going to miss 2 months. Oh, Chargers will be fine. No, the Chiefs win that division going away.
I'm with you on the Chiefs and everything you said. I got them winning the Super Bowl as well.
God. There we go, my guy.
Yep. However, I think the Chargers will be that second team that can challenge them in the division. I mean, not challenge them, but, you know, play well in that division. Derwin James is going to be a huge loss. But you said earlier, Melvin Gordon. Look, he's their best running back. But Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson can get the job
done. But you like the Chiefs to win the division.
Yes, the Chiefs will win the division.
All right, getting into the playoffs is no easy task. So wild card weekend can be pivotal. Case in point, Phillip Rivers and the aforementioned Chargers last season. So, Chris, the teams that will cap the two AFC wildcard spots this year are...
I just talked about the Chargers. I do have them getting in as a wild card. And I've got your Browns getting in as a wild card. So, I don't... Baltimore, I know a lot of people like them. I'm not sure Lamar Jackson can stay upright running the ball as much as he's going to. He's throwing it a little better in the preseason. But the Browns, they're volatile. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of potential volatility there. Kind of like the Lakers in the NBA, yeah. You know, potential for things, a lot of questions, but great talent. I've got them in the Chargers.
I feel for the Chargers. The Chargers last year tied with the Chiefs with the best record in the AFC. If they don't blow a game, I think it was against the Ravens in week 16, they would have been the number one seed. The silly NFL rules have them at 12 wins, the five seed, and the Patriots with 11 wins as two seed. I think they missed their opportunity. I think the Chargers missed the playoffs. The Ravens, with the running game defense addition of Earl Thomas, are one of my wild cards. And the other wild card, every year there's a team that comes out of nowhere, a team that we thought was going to be terrible, that ends up making the playoffs. I can't find that team in the NFC because there's too many good teams for them to go through. So I'm going to circle the wagons for the Buffalo Bills as my final wild card.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Listen, my rationale behind it, admittedly thin. Jets, Giants, Cincinnati start the year. Start the year 3-0. Start feeling good about yourself. Look around the rest of the landscape. Oh, there's a playoff spot open maybe with what's going on in the AFC South. AFC North teams beating each other up. Nick Wright was right about the Chargers. They fall off. All of a sudden, can you sneak in 9-6-1? Yeah, I'm giving them a tie. Those are the things you have to do when you pick the Bills to make the playoffs. Buffalo Bills, wild card team, back to the playoffs.
Chargers still have a great pass rush. Joey Bosa. I mean, you're...
Again, I said my logic.
And you
was
like
thin.
Buffalo better than
Very
Pittsburgh?
Thin.
I picked them.
Much more first thing.
You gotta
first
have a
right
you gotta have
this.
A surprise team, man. Everyone's like, oh, my sleeper team that nobody's sleeping on. Folks, sleep on the Bills, man.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts,
And catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.